Welcome to Parents Perspective. So how's it going? Faith's friend Lisa arrived at her back door with a huge pitcher of Faith's favorite herbal iced tea and a vase of freshly cut daisies. Oh, Lisa! Faith gave her friend a huge hug and then began to sob. I'm sorry, she sniffed after a couple of minutes. I guess it's all finally gotten to me. They settled down in the kitchen and Lisa grabbed some glasses for the tea. What, she asked, is going on? Faith gulped down some tea and looked down at her hands. Her nail polish had long since begun to peel. Her hands looked like the before side of a hand cream commercial. She looked down at the floor and noticed that she still had her bedroom slippers on. I just can't seem to get it together, she whimpered. The sink is full of dirty dishes. The newspapers are in a pile by the door. The baby needs to be fed every 2 hours or so. And in between, I wanted to at least get in a load or two of laundry before Ian comes home from school. And I don't know how I'm going to continue to get him to his karate class these days. She put her head down on the table. I'm just so weary now that I can't give anyone, even Stan, enough attention. I wouldn't be surprised if he started working late, since his loving wife seems to have evaporated. It seems, Faith mused, like you've taken on responsibility for everything except nuclear proliferation. What you need is a guilt or schism, my dear. From a parent's perspective, how can we deal with parental guilt? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest has written a book to help parents resolve some of the guilt that tends to overwhelm. Deborah Renner is a clinical social worker who works with children and their families in school, community, home, summer camp, and hospital settings. With Julie Bort and Aviva Flock, Deborah has written Mommy Guilt, Learn to Worry Less, Focus on What Matters Most, and Raise Happier Kids. She is the mother of two sons. Welcome to Parents Perspective, Deborah.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Why do you think parents embrace this concept of guilt so easily?
Well, I think society has set us up with a huge responsibility. We worry about our kids. We worry about if they're going to turn out okay. We worry about the choices that we make. We worry about whether we've given them the tools that they're going to need to make choices themselves.
Do you think it's because parenting has become a cottage industry? We're focused so heavily these days on what to do, what not to do.
And doing it right?
Years ago, Dr. Spock came out with a great book. And in that book, he said, trust yourself. You know more than you think you do. And we think that too. We wanted to have a book that didn't espouse just one technique, didn't give you a magic parenting pill. We wanted something that would empower parents to think that what they might be doing is okay and that they may be doing a better job than what they feel they might be doing or what other people are telling them.
So how do you get to this guilt-free philosophy that sounds so wonderful if we could all just do it?
Well, yeah, it's not exactly completely guilt-free. As long as you're worrying about your kids and concerned, I think that you're always going to have some measure of guilt. I think that part of it is the idea of diffusing that guilt and coping and learning when it's appropriate to listen to what your guilt is telling you and when to say, I don't need to feel guilty about this. I'm making a good decision. It's a great decision for my family. We believe that parenting can be an enjoyable experience for moms and dads. It may not always be fun or completely free of guilt. We felt a philosophy that points out the pleasures of parenting is important.
And that's what you mean by guilt-free?
Right. What happens is that parents get distracted by the schedules of their kids. They get distracted by things that are hectic. And they start losing sight of enjoying themselves and their children. And our idea of the guilt-free principles in the book are ideas that will help you to prioritize, that will help you, a parent, to relax a little bit and not be so worried and stressed out and to slow down their pace and to have fun with their kids and their family.
Do you think that it makes a difference whether a family has lots of kids or only a couple of kids in terms of how the guilt sort of sets in?
Well, according to our survey, adding more kids does add more stress. As your kids get older, parents do feel more stressed out.
Do you want to explain a little bit about how you did this survey or what you did?
Sure.
That provided
absolutely
you with the background here?
Right. What we did is we surveyed over 1,300 parents. It was an internet-based survey. And we had questions that ranged from ages and of your children to what stage in life you are at, whether you are working at home or if you are working outside of the home. And what we found was that there was no appreciable difference in mommy guilt between moms who were working for pay or part-time or volunteering or parents who were staying home with their kids. Each were feeling almost equally guilty.
Now, are you talking about moms or moms and dads?
Mainly moms. Dads felt 1% of guilt. But that doesn't mean that fathers don't have the same kinds of concerns that moms do. They do. I think that they just express it differently. I think there are biological differences that we can't deny between men and women. And in being so, I think that there may be differences in how men and women sometimes approach problems.
Do you think that the way our particular society is structured engenders more female guilt than male guilt because females are somehow responsible for the kids, while the males don't necessarily worry about Johnny's dentist appointment while they're at a business meeting?
Well, I think part of it is that from the moment of conception, practically, a woman's view of parenting changes. I think that as soon as you find out you're having a child, you immediately think, I can't eat this or I need to stop that. That makes it probably more acceptable for women to express their guilt or how they're feeling. Guilt also is an easier way of saying how you feel. If you're saying you feel angry, if you're saying you're feeling frustrated or sad, that sounds a little harsher than I feel kind of guilty. It's still an admission that maybe something is bothering you, but it doesn't sound as harsh as I'm really angry at my child.
How do the guilt-free tactics work when you have a crying infant, a demanding husband, a job that you're very committed to, and none of these things can take second place?
Well, I think that thinking that they all need to be at first place is what messes us up. We think that everything needs to be equal, and it's not. All three can be number one at different times and under different circumstances. For instance, if you're nursing a child and your husband is hungry, you can feed them both, but differently.
We certainly hope so. And at different times.
And in a different time, exactly.
You're the one who can wait a little bit?
Right. You need to figure out what can wait, what takes priority, and giving yourself some freedom and flexibility to make those decisions. And understand that, yeah, the job is important. The work is important, but sometimes you need to draw boundaries for yourself. And it's helpful to have those boundaries in place for your work, for your kids, for your spouse, and for you. For instance, people want to check their email. You want to come home. You know, a lot of people want to check their email, and that's a very normal thing to want to do. But you can do it just as easily when your kids are asleep as you can when everybody is home after 5 or whenever you've gotten there. And you know, having somebody look at the back of your shoulders as you're clicking away, you can be spending that time with your family, and you just need to say to yourself, it can wait, and it can.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on parental guilt.
Washington, D.C. with Kids, an excellent book by authors Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Deborah Renner, author of Mommy Guilt, about parental guilt. What are some kinds of day-to-day tips that you can give out to parents who are stressed out with kids of different ages, each one needing the attention immediately and all that kind of sort of day-to-day stuff?
Like the example you just gave is one.
Right. Well, remember where your children are in their own stages of development is really important. Your kids will need different things based on their ages. They'll need different things based on where they are developmentally. I think that a lot of parents may not always realize that while we marvel at the one-year-old who starts saying their first word or starts walking, we sometimes stop marveling at our kids. And I think that as our kids get older, it's still important to see what's important to them. You know, if it's their first homework assignment, if it's their first, as they get older, they're still going to have these firsts, and you do need to pay attention to them. But if you've got a younger child and an older child, they're going to need you differently at different times. It's about prioritizing. It's about thinking in terms of who can wait, like you said, and who needs me right now. It's also explaining to an older child why a younger child may need you at that time. Communication is really important as well. Communicating with your kids and not setting them up with, you just because you're older, you need to have much more responsibility. You know, just because someone necessarily is older doesn't mean they're developmentally ready to take on the world just because you have this younger kid, or that they should be the automatic babysitter for that younger child, because that also ages them. I think a lot of parents sometimes fall into a belief that, yes, it's important to be responsible for your brother or sister, but there's a difference between that and elevating your child to another parent status. That's not what, you know, is helpful for that child. I had an argument with my son. He wanted to go out to the bottom of our court and play. And there are a bunch of kids of different ages who all play out there. I said, take your brother. And my older one is 9.5 and my younger one is 5. And he said, I don't want to be responsible for him. And it's exactly what you're saying. What do you do in that situation? Because on one level, he should be responsible a little bit for his brother. But the other thing, I don't want to turn him into a babysitter either. And they both want to go play there. So I thought to myself, okay, what do we do here? And I don't have siblings. I'm an only child. So this is particularly...
you're working without a net here.
Right, exactly. It's a particular challenge for me. So I looked at him and I said, why don't you both go? I'll be there in 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. That way he could sample what it would be like, but not feel like he is ultimately responsible for whether his younger brother will listen to him or not, which is unpredictable. And is that something else that I know about my younger child? That my older child is also giving me a sign here. And that's the other thing parents need to look for, are the signs that their children are comfortable or uncomfortable. And there'll be times when they'll be able to tell them very easily and times that they won't. But if you're open to the ideas and listen to them, I think that that helps also to deal with age differences and what they need.
A very wise pediatrician once said that a good way to think of the family is a system rather than a number of competing people. And I think it's a wonderful thing. I'm not sure how easy it is to do, but it sounds like you were doing that in a way.
Exactly. And that's how you set up the boundaries within your system. Absolutely.
What about when there are disagreements and fighting within the family? How does the guilt-free philosophy work? Now, again, as growing up as an only child, you might not have seen as much of that as I saw, for example, with 3 sons I was raising.
Well, I think that it's not just the kids who will argue with each other. I think it's the parents as well who argue and participate in some of this arguing and disagreements. And disagreements are healthy. It's natural. It's a natural thing. And in the book, we talk about that disagreements are a way of affecting change. They are a way of learning how other people feel about different things that are happening in your family, and that disagreements, if they're done fairly, we talk about fair fighting rules in the book, and that means, you know, when not trying to bring up things that have already been resolved and getting stuck in a whirlpool of going on and on about the same thing over and over again, that once you've resolved a conflict that you move on from there. Actually, in the book, what we say is that you need to laugh a lot, especially with your children, and that disagreements don't always have to end in hurt feelings. And diffusing with humor is a great way to deal with family arguments. And I can give you an example from my own child. When my child was a toddler, he was very into, I want, I want. So we go to the grocery store. And even though I did what I talk about in the book, which is narrate your trip, let your child be prepared for the things that you are going to buy and the things that you aren't going to buy. I was very calmly telling him that whatever it was that he wanted was not on our list, that we were sticking to the list. He was still screaming. Mm-hmm. And I said to him, I just repeated it more for my own sanity to keep myself from getting upset and making a bigger deal of what he was doing. Because developmentally, toddlers are like little ids. All they do is sit, I want. So I said to him, you can't always get what you want. You try sometimes, you just might find you get what you need. And for those of you who aren't familiar with Mick Jagger, the Rolling Stones, that is who I was quoting. And I continually quoted this every time he had a meltdown about something he wanted.
He's going to grow up to be a rock star, clearly.
Well, what happened is eventually when he would start to melt down and say, I want, I'd say, what does Mick say? And he'd stop. And this man in the grocery store one time witnessed this. And he looked at me as my child started to wind up. I could tell this man looked a little tense, like, oh, gosh, we're going to be in for it here. And I looked at Mitchell and I said, what does Mick say? And he just immediately stopped and just continued on with our shopping. And the man walked up to me and he said, I just have to ask you, who is Mick? I said, that would be Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones. And he looked at me and he said, Mick Jagger is a parenting tool? I said, anything
what
can
works.
Be a parenting tool.
Very
if
important.
It works for you, it works. And if it's funny for you, it not only will help you with these disagreements, it'll help the kids too, because they'll learn to be fun and they'll learn how to diffuse bad situations with humor as well.
Did he immediately take off for a record store?
I thought he was going to immediately switch to I need.
And then I would have to come up with a different song.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on parental guilt.
For an audio CD of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $10 with your name, address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C. 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Devra Renner, author of Mommy Guilt, about parental guilt.
Can you discuss where the guilt-free philosophy applies in a marriage? Those are the guys you can't put in the shopping cart and say, now what does Mick say?
I'm visualizing my husband in a shopping cart and it's kind of funny. Actually, what we say is that your marriage is the foundation of your family. And if you're taking it for granted or you're not having fun as a couple or you're getting distracted from your marriage by your children, that's going to be difficult. You're your first role model for your children and how they handle relationships and talk to other people. And if you're ignoring your marriage or you're fighting with your spouse or you're doing things that are somehow taking away from that marriage, it makes it hard for your kids to know where the floor is because you're that foundation for them. And we feel that the marriage is the foundation for the family. And when your marriage is going well, you're communicating, you're talking about day-to-day life, you're taking time for each other, you're going on date nights, you're doing things that show your children that these type of relationships are important and something that you would like for them. And that if they see you disagreeing with your spouse, that's okay, as long as they're seeing that you're also resolving the differences and that you're working as a team together. And actually, once your children will grow up and leave you, because Bill Cosby says that the success of a parent is being able to watch your children leave the house and stay out. I think I'm paraphrasing, but that's the general idea, that if you're completely only focused on your children, what is that going to do for you when your children are no longer there to focus upon? You're going to be looking at each other, not knowing what each other is even interested in. Because surely there was a time before your children when you weren't deciding that going to a G-rated movie was what you were living for. There were times when you wanted to do other things. And we talk in the book about when you start feeling distracted from your marriage, when you feel that your children are kind of taking over your life, which is very easy to do these days. It's so easy because we all have these crazy schedules and people are working very hard, harder than ever probably. And when you take the time to think about some of the things you like to do when you're dating is what we talk about in the book. Look back at those times because those are some of the things that will re-spark you. If you think about the things that you enjoyed to do doing while you were dating. And some of them are really cheap, too, because a lot of us didn't have a lot of money.
That's right.
It's funny. I always get a charge out of those singles ads, you know, in magazines or newspapers. And it always says, oh, would love, you know, walks on the beach at sunset and all this kind of stuff. And I think, gee, what you really need to hear is, would be perfectly fine getting up in the middle of the night to deal with a colicky baby and plunges the toilet really well.
Right, right.
Doesn't mind taking out the trash and recycled.
That's right.
Exactly, exactly.
Deborah, if you could give parents one piece of advice, what would that be?
You know, Aviva and I talked about this on the phone on the way over here, and it's hard to give parents one piece of advice. Because really, that's kind of what hangs people up and makes them feel guilty, is if you give them that one piece of advice, then they think, oh, gosh, I'm not following it. I've really screwed everything up. Our one piece of advice would be to relax, to really relax. Because when you're relaxed, and that doesn't mean giving up. That doesn't mean giving in. That doesn't mean forgetting that you've got any kind of boundaries in your family or rules. What it means is focusing on what is good for you, good for your spouse, good for your family, and feeling confident in those decisions that they're okay, that you're doing your best. And when you're relaxed, I think that you're more open to other people's ideas. You're more open to looking at things differently. You're more open to considering other options. I think that when people are stressed out and feeling guilty, that's when it's hard for them to be able to look at the other options. Nothing in our book is rocket science. None of it is. It's not a magic pill. It's not a special technique that you have to adapt to be the best parent. All of it is really focused on following your gut, feeling like and being open to the ideas around you and looking at things from a different perspective, from the idea that you can have fun and still have rules in your family. You can still enjoy your kids and take care of yourself and do what you want to do. And it's not being selfish to do so.
A very tuned-in mother once told her grown-up girls who were feeling guilty and feeling like they had to do everything right at the same time and all this, that you can have it all, you just can't have it all at the same time.
Exactly, exactly. And having it all, your own definition of all is fine. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have it all based on somebody else's definition of what all of that is. Your all may not be as much as somebody else's, and that's okay.
That's very empowering, isn't it?
It is. It is. Yeah. Yeah. And we need to feel empowered as parents. I think that part of the problem is that parents are walking around feeling ineffective and not feeling empowered. And we wanted to be able to offer them a parenting book that did do that, that gave them a feeling of empowerment and encouragement.
Well, in terms of giving something to parents, in addition to your book, Mommy Guilt, Learn to Worry Less, Focus on What Matters Most, and Raise Happier Kids, what resources would you suggest for our listeners who want to investigate guilt a little more, or maybe get rid of some of their guilt?
Well, you know, there are some great organizations out there. One that I have belonged to for almost 10 years, and Aviva also belonged to this organization, as well as Julie, is Mothers and More. And their website is mothersandmore.org. And that is an organization that helps mothers who are in whatever type of transition caring for their families, whether it be transitioning from work to home or anything in between. And the organization focuses on mothers, but also as women, as people who had been employed or going to be employed. It focuses on many aspects of what a mother is, not just the parenting component. There's also the National Association of Mothers Centers as well. And that offers also support for mothers. And it focuses on more on the parenting aspect of motherhood and support from other mothers. Sometimes they have a facilitator who may be a social worker who will help with different problems that mothers are having. such as postpartum depression or feeling overwhelmed by the addition of a second child, those kind of things. And that's more, they're more on the Northeast.
Is that a situation where you go online and you find if there's a center near you?
Yes, yes. The Mother Centers, they also have, it's motherscenter.org. Mothers and More is also national as well. The other thing we mentioned in the book is your county extension office or your parish extension office. People used to think that those were the places where you found out about when you should plant your seeds. And these places actually have lists of different parenting programs going on in the area. And so we, in different support groups that are available in your specific area. And that's also a very good place to go. Department of Family Services. Some people think that that's only about child protection, but that they also offer parent support as well.
And this would be your state department, right, or your county department?
Your state or your county, exactly. Okay. Oh, and our own website, parentopia.net. That's our website. We have a place where parents can submit their questions, and Aviva and I will answer them. And we also have resources listed on our website as well as in the back of Mommy Guilt. There are also more resources there.
Well, you have performed quite a family service for us and for our listeners. So, Deborah Renner, thank you so very much for being with us today.
You're very, very welcome.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of Mommy Guilt, Learn to Worry Less, Focus on What Matters Most, and Raise Happier Kids by Julie Bort, Aviva Flock, and Deborah Renner. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. And please spell anything that's not obvious. That's a big help to us. Mention show number 266 and tell us what station you're listening to if you can. Since we're airing all over the world, it's always fun to know what station you're tuning into. Our latest book, Washington, D.C. with Kids, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
To learn more about Parents Perspective and our latest book, Washington, D.C. with Kids, visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org. That's www.parentsperspective.org. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents Perspective. Today's program was made possible with generous support from Goldeen and Herschel Blumberg. Our sound engineer is Damon Fisher. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.